It's May 3rd, rather, and this is Rabbi Manning Shiur.
Hey, Boker Tov. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Again, my apologies that we haven't got quite enough sheets, but they're going to bring a few more down soon. I want to start, otherwise we won't get enough time to get through the shiur. If you could share just for now with people who haven't got, that would be fantastic. As I mentioned last week, I would like to give the next three shiurim, today, next week, and the week after, in honor of Yom Yerushalayim coming up, in honor of Yom Ha'atzmaut we just had, and talk about Yerushalayim itself, Yerushalayim the city, which I want to talk about today, and also Har HaBayit. Specifically, I want to give two shiurim next week, the week after, dedicated to the issue of going on to Har HaBayit, and the issues for, the issues against, the political issues, the hashkafic issues, the halachic issues. There are many issues, and this is a growing topic in our times, but in anticipation of that, let's talk today about Yerushalayim. A few people were saying that this is an appropriate time to talk about Yerushalayim. It's always an appropriate time to talk about Yerushalayim, but given what again just happened in the United Nations, where they although a smaller number, Baruch Hashem, but still a significant number of nations voted that we had no historical connection with Yerushalayim. It is, as the Prime Minister said, it's the theatre of the absurd, and the Alma de Shikra is the world of total sheker, and the truth is that the truth will prevail, and we see through so many different connections that we have with Yerushalayim that our link with Yerushalayim is thousands of years old and will, Be'ezrat Hashem, go on for many centuries to come. Yerushalayim is mentioned 669 times in Tanakh. And over 1500 times in the Talmud and the Midrashim. It is, interestingly, in almost every place spelt without the final Yud. It is not written Yerushalayim, it is written Yerushalayim. In five places it's written with the Yud, and we'll mention those soon. But I've called the Shir here A Tale of Two Cities. Apologies to Dickens that he got there first, but unlike London and Paris, Yerushalayim is two cities within one city, and in many ways the story of Yerushalayim is the story of that twinning, and we're going to see that all the way through the shir of Yerushalayim of Yehuda, Yerushalayim of Binyamin, Yerushalayim Ha'Elyona, Yerushalayim HaTachtona, Yerushalayim Shalmala, Yerushalayim Shalmata. We're going to see many ways that the Yerushalayim, the plural at the end of the word, is critical, and it's how we understand our relationship with Yerushalayim as well. Let's start, because we have an awful lot to do. Yerushalayim, the centre of the world. Well, as one lady over there just said, of course the world is a globe and there is no objective centre in the world. If you look from outer space, anywhere could be the centre of the globe, and therefore how you define the centre of the world speaks to your focus and reference point. And Chazal clearly say, number one, Kashem Shehatibur Hazeh, just like the navel, the belly button of a person is more or less in the middle of the person, kach Eretz Yisrael tiburo shel olam. Eretz Yisrael is the tibur of the land, of the world, of the olam, the navel, the belly button, that which sustains from the mother, if you like, with the umbilical cord. That is our link with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Yoshvei al tibur haaretz. He brings a pasuk from Yecheskel. He calls the Israel the Tibur Haaretz, and then the Gemara, or rather the Medrash, makes an interesting statement. Eretz Yisrael Yosheved be'emtza otav shel olam. Israel is in the middle of the world. Okay, so the world, as I said, is a globe. You can make anywhere the middle if you like, but then it says Yerushalayim be'emtza Eretz Yisrael, and Jerusalem is the middle of Eretz Yisrael. You have a few sheets floating around here. They're still making more, I think. Don't worry. Everyone will guess. In what way is Yerushalayim the middle of Eretz Yisrael? Because I can tell you that in terms of the relativity of the world, you can make any point the middle point. But Yerushalayim is not the middle of Israel, on any definition. However you define the borders of Israel, whatever your historical or political reference points are, Yerushalayim is nowhere near the middle. So what does that mean? We have another. The lady in the front here has been very patient, waiting for a sheet, if you don't mind. There seems to be coming in dribs and drabs of four. Okay. There's over here, there's whatever here. I don't want anyone to fight over them. Okay, patience is a virtue. right, let's go. Let's not be too distracted. So the Maharal says as following, number two. Ukaasher bachar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, bachar be'eretz Yisrael, he also chose the land of Israel. Shehi be'emsa olam, u'bachar achakach be'mikdash, and he chose the mikdash. I'm on the second line of the Maharal. Shehi be'emsa eretz Yisrael, the mikdash over here, please. There's the couple over here. The mikdash is the emsa of eretz Yisrael. Okay, I think whoever's God now is God, and whoever hasn't God, hasn't God.
Well,
like the four monitor. All right. We'll have to sell them on eBay for the highest bidder. Okay, let's look now at the second line of the Ma'arav. V'davar zeh mipnei shekol davar shehu noteh min ha'emtzah. The further you go out from the middle, says the Ma'arav, he's giving a hashgacha point. Ein ha'ru'i le'kedusha, the further you depart from kedusha. Ki kfar amarnu panim arba, we've already said many times, shekol davar sheyesh lo rochek mityacheis al ha'gashmi. Distance, says the Ma'arav, is more gashmi, is less spiritual, and he'll tell you why in a minute. Shehageshem yesh lo rochek. Gashmis has distance. Aval ha'emtzai bishvil she'ein lo rochek. Because the middle has no distance, shehariu be'emsa mityachetz al hadavar hanivda. The more we call something the middle, the more we're saying it's detached from physicality and closer to spirituality. Umipnei ze bet hamikdash hu hakadosh mipnei she bet hamikdash ba'emtza. The middle of the world, the center of the world, is not it's not a geographical statement. To say that Yerushalayim is the center of Israel is not a geographical statement. It's not the center of Israel. Says the Ma'arav, the center means that which has no physicality, that which really leans towards the spiritual. And in fact, he's making a beautiful and very interesting philosophical point. That if you take a line, the edges of that line are very clearly defined. They are absolutely definable in logic. But the center is not definable. Wherever you decide to say that's the center, I can always zoom in and say, no, that's not the center, this is the center. We can zoom in more, this is the center, this is the center. And in fact, logically, the center actually is not there. There is never a center to anything. And that's what the Ma'arav is saying. It's a bit like the presence. You know, the past has already been and the future hasn't come, and the only thing which really exists is the presence. Except there is no such thing as the presence, because you can always divide the presence into the past and the future. So ironically, you end up living in a world where the only thing that really exists, which is the presence, is the only thing that doesn't really exist at all. So you can, that'll keep you up awake at night, that one, a little bit. But the Ma'arav is making a spiritual concept, which is that this description of the Emtza is very fundamental, and it's not, as I said, geographical. And we express this in many halachic ways. Look at number three, which is quite a famous halacha. Hayaomed b'chutz la'aretz. If a person was standing in chutz la'aretz, yichavenet libo keneged Eretz Yisrael. When they focus during davening, they focus to Eretz Yisrael. Shneema v'yipalnu elecha derech aretzam. A pasuk there in Malachim, when the Beis HaMikdash is inaugurated, it says they will daven to you from their land. They will daven here from their lands. Hayaomed b'Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara, if you're standing in Eretz Yisrael, yichavenet libo keneged Yerushalayim. You always face Yerushalayim. Shneema, it says in Malachim Aleph later in that same perik, yipalnu el Hashem derech ha'ir. Derech ha'ir Hashem b'charata. We always daven through that city which Hashem chose. Nitzu kol Yisrael mechavnei et libam lemakom echad. So all Jewish people, when they pray, they are all facing the same spot, this emtza spot. Am Rabbi Avin v'item Rabbi Avina. Mikra, what is the posik? K'migdal David tzavarech. Your neck is like the Migdal David. Bainui letalpiot. We call the Mikdash talpiot. What does talpiot say, Chazal? Tel shekol piot ponimbo. The mountain that all mouths are facing. That's Talpiot. That's why they call Talpiot. Talpiot. It's a name in Shir HaShirim for the Mikdash through this Gemara in Brachas. So this idea that we focus on Yerushalayim, we focus on it for prayer, we focus on it in spirituality. Also, we had a Shir many months ago on the halachic dateline. Do you remember that? As to which way you cross the day, where you don't cross the day. We saw, according to the Chazon Ish and many others, Yerushalayim is the zero, if you like, latitude as to where you calculate the halachic dateline. Of course, in secular terms, it's calculated through London, through Greenwich, but there's no reason why Greenwich should have any specific Kedusha. If you've ever been to Greenwich, you'll understand that too. But Yerushalayim, La'avdil, has Kedusha clearly, and therefore that is the calculation point for the dateline too. However, most ironically, thank you very much for your very efficient... Finally, who doesn't have a sheet? Okay, I'm sure there are more people that said that before. Okay, we have a few over here. Let me just take one.
Let me take a few. There we are. Everyone should be happy now. Okay.
I think because it was Yom Ha'atzmaut yesterday, there was nobody in the office, so things were a bit slower. But we'll get on to it. Remarkably, Yerushalayim, for all its centrality and importance, is hidden. And I'd like to talk about that for a few minutes. Look in the Pasuk number 4. Kiyim ala makom asher yibchar Hashem. Again, this idea that God chose this place. To this place that God chose, Hashem Elokechem, mikol shivteichem, from all of your shvatim, we'll come back to that soon. Lesumet shmosham, He chose this place to put His name. Leshichno tidrashu, search out His shechina, and come to that place. Search it out. Because God says, I'm not going to tell you where it is. You have to find it. You have to make the effort to find that Kedusha. It's not going to be given to you on a plate. And Yerushalayim, we'll see, has been a combination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us the guidance through the Nevi'im and us making the effort on our own to make it real. Rabbeinu Bachya has a very fascinating and very up-to-date understanding in terms of our world today as to why Yerushalayim was hidden. Look at what he says. This place that the Pasuk is talking about is Har Moriah. Why doesn't the Pasuk just tell us this is Har HaMoriah? Because we know Har HaMoriah. It's in Bereishit. It's where the Akedah was. Why can't we just be told, go to this place, that's going to be your new center? Everybody knew where that was. And he says, the Rambam writes the Sefer HaMoreh. There are three reasons why the location of Yerushalayim was hidden in the Chumash. And look at these. Make your hair stand on end. Ha'echad, reason number one, ilu yada ha'umois, if the nations outside of the world would know, ki sham ha'tfila mekubelet v'ha'kavanot sham l'ratzon, that if they knew that this was the place in advance, the place for tfila, the place for karbonos, yitzu kol uma v'uma l'hachzik bo v'tar b'hamariva ha'riga ben ha'umos, that the whole world will claim that Yerushalayim belongs to us. Yerushalayim is ours, and therefore the Chumash says, the Rambam writes this in the Moreh 800 years ago, the whole world would claim Yerushalayim. Don't forget the Rambam is writing during the Crusades, where the Christians, the Muslims, etc., all saying, we are the true Israel, Yerushalayim is ours. That's the first reason he says. V'hasheni, ki ha'knanim, not the nations of the world, but the local people, the people who live around us, says the Rambam. If they knew that this place was going to be the place for the Jewish people to come and pray, what would they have done? They would have just destroyed whatever they could destroy. Because they would have said, look, you know, we're not interested in it, but we're not going to let them have it. And therefore the attitude is, we'll try and destroy whatever we can so that the Jews will not have it. The Hashlishi, and the third reason why it was hidden, is Ki Hayushvati Marivim Zenzeh. Because we would have fought over it. The Jews would have said, we want that in our Shavit. No, we want that in our Shavit. Everybody would want Yerushalayim in there. And we'll see the Yerushalayim falls with Yudah and Binyamin, but ultimately is between all of the different Shvatim. And the Jewish people would argue amongst themselves. As happened indeed with Korach and Aharon, etc., when we decided, when Hashem said there was going to be a kahuna, the Jewish people fought. And therefore we see these three fascinating, very contemporary reasons that, number one, the nations of the world claim that they have a place in Yerushalayim. Number two, the locals just want to destroy what they can so that we can't have a place in Yerushalayim. And number three, we fight amongst ourselves. And we'll see at the end of the shir that this idea of Yerushalayim as something that brings the Jewish people together, that stops us fighting, is also critical. And we mustn't lose sight of that. So Yerushalayim was hidden. How was it found? So, if you look here, this is less well known, but if you look in the Sifrei in Devarim in number 6, it picks up an interesting thing on that pasuk. Let's look together in number 6. Ki imaz el hamakom asher yibcha Hashem lokechem mikol hashvat shivteichem. Dorush al pi navi. Look for the Yerushalayim, says the pasuk there, through a navi. A navi will tell you how to find Yerushalayim. Now, Yachol, you might have thought, Tamsin Adshi Yomalach HaNavi, we just have to sit there and wait. We came into the land with Yoshua, we have to wait till the navi tells us where Yerushalayim is. No. Talmud Lomer L'Shichnot Hidrushu V'Atashama. You have to find Yerushalayim. You can't wait for the navi to come and just, it's not going to drop down from Shamayim in that way. Drush umatzo avachakach yom al chanavi. First, you try and work out, make Yerushalayim, and then the Navi will come and confirm. And this is, in terms of a spiritual idea of Jerusalem, very fundamental. That we have to build Yerushalayim, said Chazal. We have to find Yerushalayim, and then after we put in our hishtadlers, then the Navi will come to confirm. And that's exactly what happened with David. You
with plural.
You plural. We the Jewish people. Shir hamalot zechor Hashem le David. We see one of the Shir HaMalos, that God should remember David, kol unoto, all his affliction, Hashem Yishbal Hashem Nadar La'avir Yaakov, that David made a pledge to the God of Yaakov, Im avo ba'ohel beiti, that I won't come to my house as David, Im ele al eres yutzu'ar, I won't lie on my pillow, Im eten shnak le'enai la'afapai tnuma, I will not allow myself to sleep, Ad ensimakom Hashem mishkanot la'avir Yaakov, until I find the place that God wants me to fly. Yaakov, that David said this was his life goal. Minayin shelo asa ela al pi navi, but how do we know eventually he did it through the navi too? As it says, v'yavogada David b'yom ha'hu, pasuk there in Shmuel Bet, that God came to, that God hanavi came to David b'yom ha'hu v'yomer lo, alei hakeim l'Hashem mizbeach, go build a mizbeach b'gora in Aravna ha'yibusi, and the whole story which we'll see next week of how the Makom HaMikdash was purchased in a replay of Ma'arat HaMachpelah from Aravna ha'yibusi, go says God Hanavi and buy that place. The Omer, and it says, "V'echel Shlomo livnot et Beit Hashem Yerushalayim b'Har Amoriah." Yerushalayim, Shlomo built the Beit Hamikdash on Har Amoriah. Asher nir la David avihu asher hechim b'makom David b'gor na'adam la'yvosi. So David set out to search for Yerushalayim, and then Gad Hanavi came and confirmed that. When do we see David searching for Yerushalayim? So if you remember the story that Shaul HaMelech, who was already pursuing David and realized that he was his competition and tried to kill him, he threw the spear at him and David escaped. If you remember the story, David escaped to his wife Michal, and he said to Michal, they're going to come and find me here, so you have to let me down. Remember the story, she let him down in the rope over the window. She put the trafim in the bed that looked like David, put some goat's hair on the top. And of course, when Shaul's men raided the house and they opened the bed and they found it was just a dummy, which is a model in there that wasn't really David, and David had escaped. To where did David escape? 7. The David barach. David escaped. V'imalet v'yavo el Shmuel haramatah. He went to Ramot. I don't know if it was Ramot Bet, Ramot Gimel, okay? But he went to Ramot, okay? The Ramot. But Yaged lo et kol asher asa lo Shaul. And he told Shmuel, this is what's happening in my life. Vayelechu Mushmel v'yeshvu b'nayot. Oh, they went to a place called Nayot. Now there is now a suburb of Yerushalayim called Nayot, down by the Botanical Gardens. I don't think that's where they went, okay? But they went to Nayot. But you gather Shaul, and Shaul was told Lemor as follows: Hinei David b'Nayot b'Rama. He's in Nayot and the Rama. The Rama is Ramot where Shmuel lives, and Nayot is where they were conferring. So the Gemara in Zvachim says, the Chima inyan Nayot esel Rama. What? Why does it say both? Why is he in Ramot, in Ramah, and also in Nayot? Ela shehay yoshvin b'Ramah, they sat in Ramah, v'oskin b'Nayosh al Olam, and they tried to find the Nayosh al Olam, the beauty, the glory of the world, the noy of the world. Rashi says, b'Yirosh al Shmuel, they were sitting in Shmuel's town, limtzo makom lebet ha'bechira min ha'Torah. They were sitting down to work it out. David and Shmuel were sitting and banging their heads together with the maps on the table, saying, how are we going to find this place? Where is it? God said we have to find a place, and then the Navi will confirm it. How are they going to find it? So number 9, is the Gemara in Zvachim tells us how indeed they located Yerushalayim. where they put the Beit HaMikdash. V'kam tev'alit ala makom, melamed she'Beit HaMikdash gvo'a mikol Eretz Yisrael. Oh, so they looked at the pasuk, they said, you have to go up to Yerushalayim. Okay, so Yerushalayim must be the highest place in Israel. The Eretz Yisrael gvo'a mikol Eretzot, just like Eretz Yisrael is higher than other countries. Again, not a geographical statement, a ruchani statement, a spiritual statement. Loi havu yadin duch teheicha, but they really didn't have a clue. I mean, there's lots of high points all around Eretz Yisrael. There are hills. Beit Vegan is a very nice hill. There are lots of hills. Aitu sefer Yeshua. So they said, you know something? Let's bring sefer Yeshua. B'chulu k'siv, and they looked in sefer Yeshua and they saw everywhere it said vayared, vayared hagvul, ba'ala hagvul, ba'tar hagvul. It talks about the borders. If you look in sefer Yeshua, the borders going up, the borders going down, the borders going round. But b'shevet binyamin va'ala k'siv v'yared lo k'siv. It only says va'ala, va'ala, va'ala. If you look in the borders in Shevet Binyamin, so they said, oh, we're onto something here. It has to be in Shevet Binyamin, because there it all the time says the borders are going up, 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 up. And you know, as you get to Yerushalayim, it's hills and hills. One of my students said, you know, when they came here for like a birthright trip, Yerushalayim is hills and hills and hills, and all of them are up, she said. She said, all of them are up. We never seem to go down. We always seem to go up. Yes.
When you talk about the hills, you seem to be talking about Aliyah, geographically, as opposed to...
Correct. Because they're merging the two. They're looking for it, because it's a geographical place. That's the thing. Yerushalayim is not just the Yerushalayim Shalmala. There's Yerushalayim Shalmata. There's a real rock. But there are stones that we need to locate and find. We have to twin the two. So look at this fascinating statement. The Gemara says as follows. Amri, they said to themselves, Shmuel and David, Shmamina, hachu makamo. It must be we'll find the highest place. Now, Salva lemivne be'ein eitam. They decided they wanted to make the Beit HaMikdash in ein eitam. We'll see where that is in a minute. Demidli, because it's high up. But Amr, they said, Nitati Beit Klil, because they said, we have to make it a little bit lower. It says, Ubenk Tifaf Shachem. Binyamin, it says that Binyamin dwells between the shoulders. So just like there's a shoulder, there's like two shoulders, and then there's a little thing in the middle. There's a head between the shoulders. So the head is not necessarily right. So a person doesn't look like a triangle. A person looks like shoulders. Now, where is this Ein Eitam that they thought they would put the Beit HaMikdash? And this is where it gets fascinating. Look at Rashi number 10. Rashi says, Savur lemivnai be'ein eitam. Nira be'einai. Rashi says, I'll tell you where Ein Eitam is. Shehu ma'ayan. It is a well, a spring. Mei niftoach. Mei niftoach. Now, where is Mei niftoach? Right, what do we call that now? What's the Arab name? Lifter. Lifter. Where is Lifter? Where is Mei Niftoach? So Rashi explains, and he gives us a little tour around Jerusalem. This is amazing. Rashi's never been to Jerusalem, obviously. So he explains from the Pesukim here. Mei Niftoach, Ha'amusham ach aliyat ha'har. You go up the mountain, Asha'al pnei b'gei ben chinom, b'gen hinom. You start in b'gen hinom. Okay, yeah. Which is what you and I today call Emek Rephaim. Okay, Emek Rephaim is also in Tanakh. It's also in Yeshua. So you go along Emek Rephaim. Ashelon nichtav yirida bein taim. There's only a hill between this place and Mei Niftoach. So where is that hill? So that hill is very straightforward. It starts in Emek Rephaim. It goes up Rechov Yafa. Or Yafo, or you can go up Keren HaYisod if you like. It's a hill, it's a hill, it's a hill. It goes up, it's going up the hill. It goes up to Machane Yehuda. Okay? It goes up to the very top of the hill. What's the very top of the hill? That's where the television station is. Okay? That's why it's at the top of the hill. Because it's the Lishkat HaShidur, or whatever they call it there. The central bus station. And then the hill goes down into Romema, down into Lifta, and down into Nachal Sorek. If you imagine Yerushalayim without all the buildings, that's the hill. The hill that goes from Emek Rephaim all the way to the bus station, and then down into Nachal Sorek. Says Rashi, they were going to build a Beit HaMikdash in the central bus station. Basically, that would have been the Beit HaMikdash. That was the the plan of David and Shlomo, but in the end they decided they wanted to build it Bein Ketifat Shachem, between two other hills. So let's find two other hills, they said, which are more or less the same height, and we'll put the Beit HaMikdash in the middle. So it's very, I brought you in the footnote here, that interestingly, the hill, the altitude of the hill at the central bus station is 830 meters. Har Zaitim on the other side is also 830 meters. Okay? And the Beit HaMikdash will be built in the middle between the mountains on all sides. In fact, Beit Vagan is also around 830 meters, meaning the mountains around Yerushalayim are all around 830 meters, and the Makom HaMikdash in the middle is just a little bit lower, which is Bein Ketifav Shachem, which is fascinating, and I brought you more in the footnotes. So we don't have the central bus station as the Beit HaMikdash, but next time you catch a bus, you can think of that Rashi, and you can tell the person there who is checking your bags, and they'll look at you probably very strangely. Now, let's go on. Go to page 3. The Twin Cities. How did Yerushalayim acquire its name? This is better known. So Yerushalayim is mentioned for the first time in Sefer Yoshua by name in number 11. Vayihi kishmoa Adonit Tzedek, Melech Yerushalayim. Adonit Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, ki lakat Yoshua et ha'ai, that Yeshua captured Ai. So who is the first king of Yerushalayim that the Tanakh records? Adonit Tzedek. Look in Radak in number 12. Adonit Tzedek. Kol Melchi Yerushalayim hayu nikra'im bezman haz'ahu, Melchi Tzedek. Adonit Tzedek. כמו שנאמר, הוא מלכי צדק מלך שלם, מלך שלם הוא ירושלים. מלכי צדק. So the Radak draws a line between Adoni Tzedek and Malchi Tzedek, and it says, look, just like the kings of the Plishtim were all called, what? Avi Melech, and the kings of the Mitzrim were called Paro, so the kings of Yerushalayim were called Achitzedek, Adonitzedek, etc. And what is quite well known, I brought you the psukim, I'm not going to go through them all now because we're a little short on time, but number 13 and 14 are the famous psukim. First of all, number 13, Malchitzedek Melech Shalem, after the war of the four kings versus the five kings in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu goes out and Malchitzedek, the king of Shalem, comes out and brings him bread. He makes a kiddush. They make a kiddush over there. And later, also, this exact same place that Avraham Avinu, after the Akedah, he calls it in the bottom number 14. Vayikra Avraham Shema Makom Ahu Hashem Yireh. Hashem Yireh. Hashem Yireh. Hayom Bahar Hashem Yireh. Hashem will be seen. Hashem will see and be seen on that mountain. So Chazal connect the two, number 15, and say, Amar Hamakom. If I call eventually this place Shalem, Kamo Shekaru Shem, and it associates Malchi Tzedek with Shem ben Noach, Shem the son of Noach, representing this idea of the universalist, the world as a whole, the non-Jewish world. If I just call it Shalem, Ani Avatel Divrei Avraham, I will be ignoring the words of Avraham, or Havi, who loves me, or who I love. Shikaru Yireh. He calls it Yireh. The imani koreota Yireh, if I call it Yireh, ani abatel divrei shem hatzadik. I can't ignore the universalist implications of Yerushalayim as well. Yerushalayim is not just the city of Avraham. It's not just the city of Bnei Avraham. It's also the center of the world. And the world is a big place. And the nations of the world also connect in a positive way to Yerushalayim. So I can't just call it Yireh. Ma asar Kodesh Baruch Hu, says the Midrash. What did Hashem do? Shitef ma shekaru shnehem. It connected them together. Avraham karu Yireh. Shem karu Shalem. HaKodesh Baruch Hu Yuru Shalem. Yerushalayim. Ma Yerushalayim Yireh. And I think this is, again, in terms of the Ruchnis of Yerushalayim, a very critical point, because Yerushalayim is not just the center of the world for the Jews, but it really is the center of the world for the world. And somebody made the point before that the maps in the Middle Ages, when they drew maps, very often the middle of those maps was Yerushalayim. Only later, when Britain became a seafaring nation, the center of the world map is now London. But there's no reason for that at all. There's no reason why the center of the map shouldn't be Yerushalayim. And that is what Chazal is saying, that the nations of the world do have a place. As long as they can understand our place, they also have a place. And we see on Sukkot, famous Sukkim, where the nations of the world will come up to Yerushalayim on Sukkot. And there are even today on Sukkot, many people come. There is the whole march of the people from all over the world who come to Yerushalayim. And there are many, many people all over the world who love Yerushalayim, who understand Yerushalayim as the center of the Jewish world, and they want that to expand to the center of their world, and that is exactly the point that this Medrash is making. Now, let's talk a little bit more geographically. Yerushalayim and its Kedusha. Go over to page 4. Yerushalayim has a special level of Kedusha that the rest of Israel doesn't have. The Mishnah in Kalim, in number 16, says the following. Eretz Yisrael mekudeshet mikol haratzot. Israel is holier than all other countries. It's more special than all other countries. Why? People might not know this. Why? Mahi kedushata? What is its kedusha? Shemivim mimeno ha'omer. Because you could only bring the korban omer, the barley of the omer, the habikurim, the shtei alechem, and the fruits, the shivat haminim, and the shtei alechem, the wheat offering of the chametz offering of the shtei alechem on Shavuot. You can only bring them from Israel. By the way, you can bring a korban from anywhere. You can schlep a shepsel from Paris if you want to Israel. I don't know what will be left of it by the time you get it to Israel. On Elal, you have to book a seat or something. But you can bring a korban from Chutz La'aretz. You can't bring these things from Chutz La'aretz. They have to come from the produce of Eretz Israel. Masha'ein mevim mikol ha'aretzot. Similarly, Zion, he says, Ayarot hamukfot choma, walled cities from the time of Yoshua, mukudashot mimenu, are special in Israel. Shemshalchim mitochai et hametzorim, because someone with tzara'at, last week's parsha, is not allowed to be in a walled city, any walled city, in Israel. Umasavavim letochom meit, and similarly, you can have a dead body in a walled city, ad sheyirt, as long as you like, but yotza, but if it goes out, ein machzirin otam. You cannot bring a dead body back into a walled city in Eretz Israel. The only one we really have now is Yerushalayim, and as is well known, Yerushalayim, the graveyards were always outside Yerushalayim. And nifnim menachoma, inside the walls of Yerushalayim, says the Mishnah here, Mekudash mehem is on an even higher level. Why? What's special about Yerushalayim? She'ochlim sham kodshim kalim u'masashini. There's a word on this. Yerushalayim had a special status because there were certain things that you could only eat. Again, it seems that Judaism and food are very connected in this way. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim is what you can eat there. You can eat certain things in Yerushalayim, you can't eat in Hebron, you can't eat in Tiberia, which are kodshim kalim, which are the lighter level, if you like, korbanot, things like a korban shlamim, korban toda, etc. You can eat masa sheni, which means the tithe that you have to take from the produce, if you have produce in Eretz Israel. You took a tithe, of course you give trumah to the Kohen, you give masa rishon to the Levi, then you give masa sheni to who? Back to yourself, and that you have to bring to Yerushalayim, or redeem on a coin, and then buy back in Yerushalayim, and eat in lifnim in achoma, inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Similarly, Neser Ravoi, the fourth year produce, also Bikurim, it has to be eaten within the walls of the city. Where is that city? Where is the place that has the Kedusha of Yerushalayim? So, does Yerushalayim, we'll talk more about this next week, does Yerushalayim have Kedusha today? And if so, where? Does the OU Israel Center have Kedusha at Yerushalayim? Maybe it should. Okay? Let's have a look here. Look at number 18. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says the following. Shamati, I heard, Shemakrivim, you can bring korbanos, afopisha ein bayis, even though there is but no Beit HaMikdash. You can bring korbanos without the Beit HaMikdash. And we talked about this last year when we talked about the Korban Pesach. But maybe you can even bring the Korban Pesach today without Yerushalayim. Without a Beit HaMikdash rather. Va'ochlim kodshei kedoshim, afopisha ein kilayim. You can eat kodshei kedoshim inside the area that used to be the Beit HaMikdash, even though the walls of the Beit HaMikdash are not there. And kodshim kalim u'masa sheini, and you can even eat masa sheini in Yerushalayim, afal pishe ein choma, even though there are no more walls to Yerushalayim. Why? She kedusha rishona kitcha l'sha'asa v'kitcha l'asid lafa. And this is a complicated halachic concept, but we need to touch on it now. Kedusha rishona kitcha l'sha'asa v'kitcha l'asid lafa. Meaning the original Kedusha of Yerushalayim, which was given by Shlomo HaMelech and David HaMelech, that is the eternal Kedusha, says Rabbi Yeshua here. And the Rambam, we'll see right now, rules in that way, that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the Kedusha of Mikdash, is the Kedusha from the time of Shlomo. How did they define Yerushalayim? Look at number 19. How do you add on, if we want to increase the Kedusha of Yerushalayim to include the OU Israel Center, and we can sit here upstairs and eat our Masa Sheni, how do we go about doing that? So the Rambam says, I'll tell you how. Number 19. Ein mosifin al ha'ir, the way that you add to the city, or al azarot, or to the courtyards of the Mikdash, ela al pi, you need the following. Melech, Ve'alpi Navi Ubu'urim V'tumim Ve'alpi Sanhedrin Shal Shivim Ve'echad Tekenim. You need four things. You need a king, you need a Navi, you need the Urim V'tumim, which is inside the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, and you need the Sanhedrin. Shene'emar, it says, Kochol HaShene'emar Tcha Ken Ta'asu L'dorot. U'Moshe Rabbeinu Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu was the original Melech. How do you expand? How will they one day expand Yerushalayim from the original Kedusha, which obviously is only in the old city, we'll see that soon, to include what we have today? They make two special loaves. And they take the chametz part of the loaves. The whole thing bedin achar badir achashdei tzedot. They take these two korbanos, these two bread, big massive loaves of bread that they bring as korbanot, and the bedin walk behind them. Vashdei tzedot zoachazov omdim bekinorot. They play the violins and the guitars, the navalim and the drums, the tzitzel and the cymbals. Al kol pino pina, they walk around the whole place. Al kol even should be Yerushalayim ve'orom omer. They say Aromimcha Hashem ki delitani, which is the from the beginning of Mizmor Shel Chanukot Ad Bayit LeDavid. And Shemagim LeSof HaMakom Shemakadshim Oto, till they get to the place that they want to say this is the new boundary of Yerushalayim. The Omdim Sham, and they stay there. The Ochlim Lechem, they eat the bread there. The Ochlim Sham Lechem Toda Acha Bishnei Atzodot. And I even brought you a little picture, courtesy of Machon HaMikdash. Of a visualization of them marching through Yerushalayim with these two massive kipka chalas, the front like sheva brachas chalas, the front of the lachmin toda, and they burn one of them and they eat one of them and they say, Adkan, this is the boundary of Yerushalayim. In order to do that, you need a king, you need a Sanhedrin, you need a Navi, and you need an Urim V'Tumim. Go over the page, please, to number 5. Page 5, to number 20, rather. The Rambam then adds and says, V'chol makum shelo nase v'chol elu, u'kasedi hazeh. If you don't have all of these things, ein kiddush gamur. It doesn't really totally work. And when Ezra made two todot, Ezra also, when they came back to the second temple period, Ezra did this ceremony. Zikaron hu she'asa. It was only a zikaron. It was only like as they used to do. Why? Because what was Ezra lacking? Did he have a king?
No.
Did he have a Kohen with Urim and Tumim?
No.
Did he have a Sanhedrin?
No.
Yes. He had a Sanhedrin. Did he have a Navi? Yes. Chagai Melachim Zechariah they had at the time. So he had two out of four. So says the Rambam, it didn't really work. It was like a tekes, like we have today the Hakel. You know, they have Hakel, they put up a big stage, and they read out, Zikaron, Zeche la Hakel. So they did a Zeche le Todot, Shtei Todot. Lo b'ma'asav nit kadesh ha-makom. It wasn't Ezra that made Yerushalayim Kaddish in the second temple time. Shelo hayasham shelo melech. He didn't have a melech. Valorim v'tumim. But manit kadesha. Why is Yerushalayim Kaddish in the second temple time? The kedusha rishayna shekidusha Shlomo in the original kedusha that Shlomo brought. Shehu kiddush hazara. He made the hazara the center of the Yerushalayim, the Beit Hamikdash, the Yerushalayim, the shatam, the kiddush la'asidlam. For all times. So why, says the Rambam, is Yerushalayim Kaddish today? Yes. Where? Only the bit that Shlomo made. Anything that was expanded after the time of Shlomo HaMelech, it never got full Kedusha, Kiddush Gomor. It may have got some Kedusha. And Rav Kook, which I'm not going to bring you now in number 21, in one of his tshuvas, he says it sounds from the Rambam and from the Gemara's there, the Rambam's based off, he might not get full Kedusha, but it gets something. It gets some level of Kedusha. Meaning if you expand Yerushalayim without all of these four things, maybe it does work to some degree, and therefore what Ezra did has some validity. The Raivad comes in and says a fascinating thing which we'll look at more next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, when we talk about the Mikdash. Look in the third line of number 20. Amar Avram, in the Rashi scripts. Amar Avram, the Raivad comes along and says he rejects the Rambam completely. Svaras Atzmohi. The Rambam, he says, made this up. The lawyer dati me ayin lo. I have no idea where he got that from, that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is based on Shlomo HaMelech. And he goes through a whole argument which I'm not time to get through now, and he says that's not true, because as you remember from Shemitah year, that they bring certain, the only land which has Kedusha for Shemitah is the land that the second Olim, the Olim Bavel, not the Olim Mitzrayim. You know, sometimes you go into Rami Levi and it says Olim Bavel and Olim Mitzrayim, and you wonder what's going on here. Like someone brought these cucumbers from Mitzrayim, someone brought these cucumbers from Bavel. No, they don't do that. What Olim Bavel and Olim Mitzrayim, the Gvulah mean, is that the land which the second temple Olim made Kaddish in the times of the Ezra, that has the Kedusha which we now hold for Shemitah. But the original land for Shlomo HaMelech, the Olim Mitzrayim that came out, those borders do not have anymore the same level of Kedusha. Not like the Rambam says. That's why you could eat cucumbers coming from the Arava. Okay, and they don't have the same Kedusha Shvius, etc., etc. I'm not getting a whole shir on Shemitah now. So he says, what's the Rambam talking about? What do you mean the first Kedusha? We don't say that for Eretz Yisrael. Why should we say that for Yerushalayim? It's not the first Kedusha. And he ends and he says at the end of the penultimate line, Aval Yerushalayim ul Migdash lo ama lefi shehaya yodea Ezra. There was no Kedusha for Yerushalayim because Ezra full well knew sheha Migdash Yerushalayim atidim lehishtanot. That one day we will expand Yerushalayim and it will change. Kiddush Acher Olami will have a new Kiddush which is eternal, B'Kvod Hashem La'olam. And therefore we see Yerushalayim has expanded many times. If you look in the picture on the left hand side in the middle of page 5, you'll see that is the extent of Yerushalayim in the time of Shlomo in the first temple, Chizkiyahu's time. Where does that cover? That doesn't even cover the whole of the old city today. It doesn't include the Muslim quarter. It doesn't include the Christian quarter. These were all added much later. It includes the Jewish quarter, the Armenian quarter, and also a whole bunch of land which is now outside the city walls. That was the original Yerushalayim. And of course, Ir David, which we've kind of rediscovered and reclaimed in many ways over the last 100 years. But if you remember, when you go to Ir David, if you look up, there's a lot of there's a whole Christian monastery and a graveyard there where Oskar Schindler is buried in that graveyard, which falls outside on Mount Zion, which falls outside the current walls of Yerushalayim. That is all part of the original Kedusha of Yerushalayim. But if you go through Yerushalayim into the Muslim quarter, the Christian quarter, that is already outside. By the second temple period, it was expanded on the right hand side. You'll see that that was expanded. They made another wall, which includes much of what is now the Muslim quarter, and they even built a third wall, the Chomash Lishit. You know where the Chomash Lishit is? It's in Meir Sha'arim. There's a road called the Chomash Lishi. I think in Meir Sha'arim there's a gas station. I think a yellow gas station on there. Go for a walk there one day. You'll look for that. That is the third wall that they expanded Yerushalayim to in the time of the second base. I mean, it goes already a little bit into Meir Sha'arim. But the question is, what's with modern day Yerushalayim? So Rav Kook seems to intimate that even though we don't have a Melech and we don't have a Sanhedrin, we don't have a Navi and we don't have an Urim V'Tumim, maybe that's not a Kiddush Gomor, but there's some maybe level of Kiddush. And they actually asked that Shaila directly to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. If you look in page number 6 for a second, look on number 22. They asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, does modern day Yerushalayim have Kedusha? Yes or no? Where we're sitting now, Beit Began, Gilo, well, Gilo didn't exist as part of Yerushalayim, Har Nof is very holy. He lived there for 15 years, that's for sure. How far does it go? And how far can it go? You know, Be'ezrat Hashem, we live in Alam Shvut now, and they've just announced a plan for a second tunnel road. It even has a budget, which is, I suppose, a start. A second tunnel road that will join Alam Shvut and the Gush Etzion and Efrat. The truth is, it's not really for Alam Shvut, it's really for Efrat, which is now, Baruch Hashem, a big, big city. There'll be another tunnel going through next to the first one. And not only will there be a tunnel, but they're laying the infrastructure for the light rail to be extended on that tunnel to go down into Efrat. So one day, when your great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren live in Alam Shvut, it'll just be another suburb of Yerushalayim. And people will say, you know how they say, I remember when you used to have to go through countryside to get to, etc. How far can it go? How far can Yerushalayim go? So they ask for Shlomo Zalman. Look in the third line of number 22. So he says, Yerushalayim hamukudeshet. It's very different in many ways from the rest of the land. We've seen Masasheni, Kachim Kalem, Bikurim. Hirak Yerushalayim ha'atika. It's only the ancient Yerushalayim, Asher Letzareinu HaGadol Zarim Moshlim Ba. We don't have it to ourselves anymore. Prat HaChelik Katan Mihar Tzion, and accepts a little bit of Hartzion, which is, I don't actually know when he wrote this. He may have written this before 67. It sounds like he wrote this before 67, where the only part of ancient Yerushalayim that we had was Hartzion, and we used to look down onto the old city. V'chol moshe b'chutz l'choma rak nikra b'shem Yerushalayim. Anything outside the old city, as it used to be First Temple, is only called Yerushalayim. Le'inin k'tiva shem ha'ir b'gitin. There's relevance for gitin. If a man gives his wife a get, and more of that in a minute, and says the get has to be delivered in Yerushalayim, he gives it to a shliach. So you can, Yerushalayim includes here. So yes, for gitin that does include Yerushalayim of shtarot and for documents. Aval ein zo Yerushalayim. It's not yet the real Yerushalayim. V'gam din kriyat ha'magila talui rag. Meaning, do you read the Megillah on the 15th or the 14th here in the OU Center? The answer is the 15th. Why? Not, he says, because it's Yerushalayim, but because it's near to Yerushalayim, and one of the halachas of Megillah is anywhere which is near to Yerushalayim, or seen together with Yerushalayim, reads on the 15th, even if it's not Yerushalayim. So yes, you can read on the 15th in Beit Vagan. Harnof, by the way, Rav Moshe Sternbuch has a suffix as to whether you should read on the 14th or the 15th in Harnof. That's not for now. But he said it's not really Yerushalayim. When we call out Amor, last paragraph of number 22, from everything we said, Mishma, you can see clearly, She'ein shum hevdel ben beit hakoros shebe Sanhedria or vein zeh shebe har hamanuchot. There's no difference between Sanhedria and har hamanuchos. She'harishneim hem michutz l'Yerushalayim. It's all outside Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to have a dead body in Yerushalayim. You shouldn't have to bury a dead body. People want to be buried in Har Menuchos. People want to be buried in Har Zeitim. People want to be buried close to Yerushalayim. Says, but that's just a regesh, really. That's just a feeling. It's not more in Yerushalayim than anywhere else. It's interesting as to who is buried in Har Zeitim and who is buried in Sanhedria, and why. It's very interesting. Rav Aryeh Levin wanted to be buried. They wanted to bury him in Har Menuchos, in Har Zeitim, but he insisted on being buried in Sanhedria. So they asked him, why do you want to be buried in Sanhedria? He says, because Istama, a lot of people will probably want to come to my kever, and I don't want to be matriach people to Shletzach, to Har Zeitim, so they should come to Sanhedria, which is much more convenient, which very much fits with Rav Aryeh Levine. And other people were buried, there were different people who were meant to be buried here, meant to be buried there, and there were all sorts of reasons why they were buried in different places. Just one word, and this is not halacha l'maisa, so don't get too excited about it, in number 23, but the Mishnah says about Yerushalayim itself, kol amal in the Eretz Israel, the ain kol moitzim, kol man in Yerushalayim, the el kol moitzim. Echad anashim ve'echad anashim. What does that mean? That if a couple is married and one of them says, "I want to go on Aliyah to Israel," or "I want to go live in Yerushalayim," the other spouse is not allowed to say no. And if they say no, they may have to divorce. So again, this is not halacha l'maaseh. Please consult your local Orthodox rabbi before you get excited about that. But in principle, the status of Yerushalayim is such that this is the case. Good. So that's the question. So that's what I'm saying. For this halacha, what would be Yerushalayim? Would Yerushalayim be Yerushalayim today?
Your great grandchildren, the Maran Shvot, would be part of Yerushalayim.
Could be. So for this halacha, it may be also that Yerushalayim includes what is now Yerushalayim, and it's really inspirational driving into Yerushalayim, seeing Yerushalayim for what it now is, Baruch Hashem, Lechem Yirbu, for what it used to be. A few other points before we finish. Two other twin city ideas, three others. First of all, Yehuda and Binyamin. I'm not going to go through all the sources, but if you look through 24 onwards, you'll see that there's a whole discussion in the Pesukim. Was Yerushalayim in Shevet Yehuda? Or was it in Shevet Binyamin? And it seems from the Psukim in Yoshua and Shoftim that it was in both. It was in Yehuda and it was in Binyamin. And it's very hard to fathom out exactly how that works. And if you look for a second, flip over to page 7, look in number 31. I'm just doing this to save a little time. You will see that actually it's a shiluv. It's a combination. Yerushalayim has to be a twin city of Yehuda and Binyamin. And this is very critical. Look at number 31. Ma haya b'chelko shel Yehuda. What was in Yehuda's area? Har habayit, the temple mount. Halishkot, the chambers of various things in the temple. The ha'azarot, and the courtyards of the temple. They were all in Yehuda. What was in Binyamin? Ulam, the building of the Mikdash, the Heichal, and the whole of that building, Ubet Kodshei Kedoshim, and the Holy of Holies, meaning the Gvul, the border between Binyamin and Yehuda, wiggles its way through Yerushalayim, right through the middle of the Mikdash itself. Uritzuah hatiyotzed mechalko shel Yehuda, a little strip of land went out from Yehuda, v'nichneset lechalko shel Binyamin. Even to the point that Chazal are trying to work out, when they built the Mizbeach, there were different corners of the Mizbeach. Some of them were in Yehuda, some of them were in Binyamin, because it has to be the combination. And the Kohanim, as they're walking around, are Yehuda, Binyamin, Yehuda, Binyamin, Yehuda, Binyamin, Yehuda, Binyamin, in and out, in and out, in and out. And it has to be that way. I brought you two interesting little maps. The first one in the middle of the page, where you see the shaded area is in Shevet Binyamin, and the non-shaded area is in Shevet Yehuda. And actually, if you had a zoom in on that map, you'll see that the Mizbeach itself, certain bits of the Mizbeach are in, certain bits are out. And I also brought you a fascinating map at the bottom of the city of Yerushalayim in its modern way, what's in Binyamin and what's in Yehuda. And you can see that in Nachalat Binyamin you have here large parts of Meir Sha'arim, Zichron Moshe there, Rechov Yishayahu, Rechov Yechezkel, Shmuel HaNavi. And where is the boundary with Yehuda? Again, that boundary is pretty much this road and Rechov Yafo, Machane Yehuda. Why is Machane Yehuda called Machane Yehuda? The Shuk. Okay, that is the boundary of Yehuda, of Shevet Yehuda, and it goes round and it circles around down again into Nachal Sorek, and you can look yourself at that. So again, we have this beautiful idea that Yerushalayim connects the two tribes which are most needed to be connected: Yehuda and Binyamin. B'nai Rachel or B'nai Leah? What is the internal pirud? What is the internal, if you like, tension within the Jewish people? Rachel v'Leah, Yisrael v'Yehuda, Yehuda v'Binyamin. Yerushalayim has to connect those two people. And let me just talk about that finally for the last few minutes. Go to page 8 and let me finish off with a few beautiful statements that Chazal made of how to connect that in that way. Yerushalayim is also the upper city and the lower city, that we don't have time to speak about. There's also two names, Yerushalayim, Tzion and Yerushalayim, and they have two different connotations, which again we're going to look at maybe another time. But look finally at the last few sources, and I think you'll see some things that you'll enjoy and remember. Number 35, Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra la yachdav. Famous pasuk, that Yerushalayim is a connector. What is Rashi? Rashi says, Raboseinu amru yesh Yerushalayim abnuya b'shamayim va'atida Yerushalayim shalmata lihiyot kemota. There is an ideal Yerushalayim in Shamayim. Yesh chubra layachdav, and our job is to make Yerushalayim shalmata twinned with Yerushalayim shalmala. How do we do that? So I brought you first of all to Yerushalmi, number 36, Talmud Yerushalmi, Ir she'oseh she'oseh et kol Yisrael chaverim. That's number one. Yerushalayim, the purpose, the internal purpose of Yerushalayim is to create chevra, is to connect people. Similarly, number 37, Yerushalayim abnuya, ir shemechaberet Yisrael ze lazeh. And therefore, I think internally, before we even think about UNESCO and that crowd, we have to work on some way of making Yerushalayim a city that unites Jewish people. That we reach out from one community to other communities, and not just have this is the Haredi part of Yerushalayim and this is the non. There somehow has to be an interaction, there has to be a reaching out to connect people, to make Yerushalayim one city, and that starts between the Jewish people itself. And that's very critical. That's our vision of Yerushalayim Habanuya, is a Yerushalayim which Jews live together and appreciate each other. That's number one. Number two then goes to the outside world. Look at number 38, and we'll finish with these last few sources. But the pasuk in Zechariah, "Bayom hahu yihyeh al metzilot hasus kodesh la'Hashem." On that day, says Zechariah, they'll be written on the bells of the horses. The bells of the horses will have Kodesh Lashem. Now what had Kodesh Lashem written on it? The tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. So why are we writing that on the bells of the horses? Because, says Zechariah, we're taking the Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol and we're taking it on the horses and we're expanding it. Say Chazal, My mitzilot hasus. What are the bells of the horses? Amar Rabbi Yishu ben Levi. Atid Hakadosh Baruch Hu laosif al Yerushalayim. One day God will expand Yerushalayim. Ache hasus rats umatzil. As far as the horse can run, umatzil. Rashi says there. Kishiur muritzat hasus achatzi hayom. The amount a horse can run in half the day. When the shade of the horse is under the horse. How far can a horse run in a day? I looked it up on the internet. 50 miles a day, if you really push it. Okay? If it's a many horsepower horse. Okay? So a horse can run 50 miles a day. So how far can a horse run in half a day? 25 miles. So the Gemara is saying here that in Pesachim that eventually Yerushalayim will be 25 miles across. Okay? I don't know how big it is now, but it's getting there. Number 39. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu latet et Yerushalayim b'midah. Hashem wanted to give a fixed size to Yerushalayim. Shnei Marat says in Zechariah, Va'omeh ana ata holek v'yomeh alai lamod et Yerushalayim. Go to Yerushalayim, lirot kama rachba, kama arka. How big is Yerushalayim? Amru Malchei Asharis, the Malachim said to Hashem, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Harbe Krachim Barata Ba'olamcha. So many cities are in the world, London, Paris, Berlin. Shel Umat Ha'olam of the non-Jews, Lo Nachaten Midat Arkam Midat Rachman. You didn't put limits on how far you could build in those cities. There are no building freezes in Paris, says the Malachim. There are no building freezes in London. Why are you setting building limits in Yerushalayim? An amazing midrash. Yerushalayim sheshimcha b'tocha u'migdashcha b'tocha v'tzadikim b'tocha. Yerushalayim which has your migdash and your name and your tzadikim, ata noten b'midah. You're putting a building freeze, say the Malachim. You're limiting Yerushalayim. Miyad says Hashem v'yome elav rat deber hanar halazel lemor parazot teshev Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim should expand into the parazot, open land, mirov adam, from so many people who behem b'tocha. Amor is lakish ati the kodesh baruch lahotiv al Yerushalayim elef tfaf ginyanot. There will be thousands and thousands of gardens, elef klaf migdalin, thousands of towers, elef leitzoni biryonot, and many citadels. The elef sheni shilo tots faraot, which I think are kind of what they are. The chol echad ve'echad hayek tzipori b'shal pasach. Meaning Yerushalayim will one day expand, will one day get bigger. And therefore, I think Chazal here are referring to this idea of whether Yerushalayim is limited. And I just want to finish with two statements of Chazal in number 40. Amar Rabbi Yochanan atida Yerushalayim la'asot mitropolin l'chol haratot. One day Yerushalayim will be a metropolin, will be a metropolis for all the nations of the world. And what will that mean? Number 41, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer atida Yerushalayim shiyitkabsu b'tocha kol goyim. One day all the nations of the world will want to come to Yerushalayim. B'chol ma'mechot she'ne'emar v'nikvo elea kol goyim l'shem Hashem Yerushalayim. All nations will wish to have embassies in Yerushalayim itself. Chazal say chayni hi ratzon, it should be fulfilled in our days.
Ezrat Hashem.